sugar, and spice. But we don't play nice. Welcome to Not Your Player 2.
Brought to you by Checkpoint XP.
With your host, Christine Kuki Solis.
You don't like it? Get better.
And Sarah Skopic.
Is this easy mode?
We don't just play as your healers. We play it all.
Hey, welcome to Not Your Player 2 podcast, brought to you by Checkpoint XP and Beasley XP of Beasley Media Group. I'm your host, Christine Solis, aka Cookie, and I'm also joined by my co-host, Sarah Skopic. How are you doing, Sarah?
I am hanging in there.
I know, yeah. We usually record Fridays at twitch.tv/checkpointxp, but it is a early Saturday morning, at least for me. It's a little past 9 a.m., but Sarah had to sleep in too, because she's a little sickies.
A little sick. I'm hanging in there, though. My voice is recovering more than it was yesterday.
You do sound a lot better versus your screeching from yesterday's Borderlands 2 game stream.
My piercing yelling is the way I prefer to call it.
But I may sound a little bit different because I did just literally wake up probably like 30 minutes ago. So getting in here. Again, Not Your Player 2 can be found on bpodstudios.com, Apple's Podcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download podcasts. Please leave us a review. I did not get a review this past week.
I am disappointed.
Yes, we are back to our review drought. However, I do want to shout out to a few people. This past week was E3, and I was out here in Los Angeles, California, checking out E3, and we did get a couple shout outs from a few people. So we were, me and Robbie, we were sitting waiting for the Bethesda showcase to start. And this guy runs up to us and says, "Oh my gosh, I'm a huge fan of Checkpoint XP." Turns to me and says, "And Not Your Player too." So shout out to Teddy B. Thank you so much. We really appreciate that. Also shout out to The Night Train. He came out and hung out with us Tuesday night. You know, did a little bar thing, and he goes like, "Yeah, I listened to about 5 episodes of Not Your Player 2." And trust me, I did tell him, listen to it more, because we are just starting out and our conversations are getting better. So that was a thing. That's what his little critical review was, is that we weren't as conversational as the guys.
I see. Well, we'll be sure to... No, I'm just kidding. But no, we really appreciate anyone who has stepped up. I was not able to be there. I'm very jealous. But thank you, everyone, for your words, kind, critical, or otherwise. And we still want those reviews. It doesn't have to be 5-star. It's fine. We're going to read them anyway.
Yes. Please do. And also, corporate looks at these reviews. And we need that. Anyway, we're going to kick it off with a couple of gaming news. There wasn't a lot of gaming news because of E3, but we are going to fixate on, you know, the ones that really matter, at least to us. So it looks like EA, Electronic Arts, appears that they want to fix toxicity. Wow. I need a wake up. Toxicity towards women and minorities in gaming. EA held their first Building Healthy Community Summit, which involved 230 gaming influencers coming together to discuss the issue. So the discussion so far resulted in 3 things. They said that regular reports on health of their online communities give new tools to players to help fight against toxicity. I said that right this time.
Yes.
And have a council of players to discuss the issue. So good on EA. They are working towards it, especially it's EA. Let's just say.
Yeah, I know. Especially since EA is probably the most toxic thing in the gaming community in general, but that's okay. but this is, I was kind of surprised to see this, I guess, because, you know, my personal feelings with EA. But at the same time, I have to give them credit. This was basically was a result of one of their known streamers who likes to stream The Sims, basically, and had a lot of toxic, misogynistic, and racist comments on her stream. And so
for The Sims?
Yeah, for The Sims. It was interesting. So she's well known within the community. But yeah, so she would, whenever she's streaming, she would see plenty of people that would leave these really terrible slurs on her chat. And so it's kind of what jumpstarted all of this together. And, you know, nothing, there's nothing specific they're saying. Those are the three, the only real specific thing they mentioned of those three things was honestly the fact that they're going to be doing these regular reports about the health of its online communities. How that's going to be measured, I don't know.
Yeah, how do you measure toxicity?
I guess there's
certain things that people take offense to that we wouldn't even take offense to.
Yeah, I know. I think they're probably going to use a lot of Microsoft's measures of, remember how Microsoft had put out, like, what's trash talking and what's just offensive? So, which I, as silly as it was kind of great.
It makes sense, though.
Yeah, it does, though. And so I think, like, I think the number one thing will be just kind of looking for those key words that, you know, are unequivocally bad, you know, those misogynistic, those racist, those what have you. Just, or those terms that we all know is not okay. So I'm sure they're going to try, you know, that's kind of going to be thing number one. But there's also, I mean, there's tons of things that you can't necessarily find in a control F situation that can be toxic. And so that's going to be a little more tricky.
Now, is this with EA, is this like within their game or is it just with the whole streaming kind of thing?
They say online communities, and what that sounds like is, I'm guessing, probably in their online gaming and potentially even those streams. I only say that because that's where the problem was caused. But that is a good point. They also don't really define what online communities means at this point. Yeah. It's, or where they're going to be searching that.
I wonder if they're like meaning like their own community forums or their own Discord. I love how Discord is like an online community now, so
yeah. It would be a good place to start. I mean, those message boards, some of them are starting to kind of clean up, but man, there's a lot of issues there too, because so much of it is anonymous, you know. And the other thing, they're saying they're going to offer new tools to help, you know, the issue for players to use. I mean, we've got the mute button. That's always been issue number one. You get the report button. That's got its own brand of problems, unfortunately, but it's there. I'm curious to see what they mean by that and what other tools that would mean. I don't know. I have to admit, like, toxicity in environments like this, I'm always really happy to see when gaming companies, and a lot of them are, really trying to, trying to hold this together, but it's hard. It's really hard.
Yeah. We'll see what EA does, but good on EA. They're actually taking premise on this, so.
Yeah, they're looking at it. That's important by itself.
Yeah. So the state of California is now getting involved with the ongoing situation at Riot Games. The California Department of Fair Employment and Housing, the DFEH, I have to check those letters, all right? They filed an investigation enforcement action this past Wednesday because Riot has not provided accurate information to truly say one way or another whether women are paid less than men at the company. Riot's official statement in response has been to say that they have indeed been reporting to the DFEH and that their request come together has not been answered. So,
this is a lot of he said, she said, they said situation.
It is.
California is now getting involved, so the pressure is really on Riot now. And California, we all know what California can be like, so this is, they're not going to get off easy, let's just put it that way.
Tell me how California can be like, please.
Oh, no, I actually mean it more in a good way. I just mean that they really, you know, they're not, I mean,
sometimes, because celebrities already here in California say, hey, this male actor gets paid more than me for this huge ass movie. But I guess now it's going into gaming now.
Yeah, it's interesting. But yeah, I guess that is a good point. But I'll be curious to see. But this is very much he said, she said, because
it is.
The department is saying, hey, we're investigating because they haven't told us anything. And Riot's like, yes, we have. I have to admit, I'm a little less inclined to believe Riot, but I don't exactly, I guess, have proof either way.
That's hard to say.
Technically, if you're just technical proof, I don't have anything that I can say. At the same time, Riot doesn't exactly have a very good history with this kind of thing.
Sort of. I mean, like, okay, so this past E3, Robbie and Norris was able to get in on a Saturday, which is great because I was able to take them over to the LCS arena at Riot Games. And I saw plenty of female workers there at Riot Games, and our contact basically at Riot Games seemed happy to be working there. So, like, I don't know if she had any problems or just the females that have been, you know, walking out on Riot are even there anymore. So what even happened to that Riot walkout too?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything else about, because they were supposed to come up with their own response because Riot basically didn't. So I don't know. I will say that I'm sure also, like, depending on your department, I'm sure has a big big say of, like, whether you experience this toxicity too. You know, I'd be curious to know if the different departments kind of have different, you know, issues, so to speak. It's a big company.
It is huge.
Lloyd says in our twitch.tv/checkpointxp chat, Riot needs to get their stuff together because if the government is investigating them, that is a problem, which is kind of how I feel too. Like, this is getting a lot bigger than just their internal investigation now.
Yeah.
The state's getting involved, and that's not a pretty look.
I think it's props to that walkout.
And especially, I think what's interesting is what the state's investigating is a very simple matter. They're not even really investigating the whole, like, just general issue of toxicity in the bro culture. They're just looking very specifically, are women paid less than men of equal positions at that company?
Which is interesting. It doesn't have to do anything about the toxicity. It's just the
thing. And they even said that, like, what they're also kind of, you know, wondering about is about the ability for women to get game promotions and stuff like that. But on its basic core, it's simply just, are they being paid less than men? And we have really, as far as I know, yet to see any true report either way. Is that correct?
No. So this is weird.
I mean, Riot, come on. get it together. I'll be curious to see what this results in.
Yeah, we'll keep a close eye on this Riot Games thing here. So following the insanity of E3, sadly, Amazon had quietly laid off dozens of their own video game developers. One person affected had reported that Amazon Game Studios has told employees that they had 60 days to find new positions within Amazon, or else they'll be given a severance package. They also supposedly canceled some unannounced games. Amazon reported that they are attempting to reorganize teams to prioritize development of their games New World and Crucible. So this is some pretty sad news, because I really thought Amazon Game Studios was going to be kind of the next thing before, like, Google and Apple came out with their own games thing. But yeah, we haven't really heard much from Amazon Game Studios, so maybe because of that, or just their games are not getting great reviews under beta or alpha testing. I don't know.
It is truly sad, and especially the timing of after E3. It's what that really tells me was they really were looking at the scene of E3, and they felt they needed to make some changes fast. 60 days is 2 months, but when you're probably crunching down on other work as a game developer, that's not much time to look for, you know, within other internal positions.
No, it's not.
And also, like, you know, I know companies are companies, but yikes, it's the employee's responsibility to find a new position. Why are they opening up other potential, you know, lots of other places? They rework you and put you somewhere else, but they usually help with that. So that's just weird to me. But yeah, and what's really telling to me is the fact that, and this was from one of the people that was in result of this layoff.
Mm-hmm.
But that supposedly they were canceling some unannounced games. And that really tells me that Amazon looked at E3 and looked at what was coming and went, we got to change some things.
Probably. That has to be it. Lloyd in the chat asked, how old is Amazon Games, though? He thought that they were only like 6 months old at this point, and what games can you develop in that time? Looking at Wikipedia, yes, I went to Wikipedia. Amazon Game Studios was founded in August 7th of 2012.
Whoa.
I think it was during, it says here, September 2016, TwitchCon, Amazon Game Studios, you know, announced their three games that they were going to have. I think that's where it was, I guess, more you know, going into the game development, at least the triple A type kind of thing. So,
but that, yeah, that really gives me, that really makes me wonder what's really going on with their development side, you know, just because I haven't really heard much about Crucible and New World. So I'm wondering, how is development going in general over there? And if that's why they kind of felt this pressure. But either way, it's certainly sad. And I have to say that, like, even though some of this news came from an employee, Amazon did say that, yep, we're reorganizing some people. And they did say that they were working with the employees affected by the changes to find new roles within Amazon. So this isn't, they are doing this.
Yeah, which is kind of sad because I did see, you know, a couple of people walking around with their badge that says they're from Amazon Game Studios.
Yeah.
And it sucked going to E3 and then coming back to work and say, hey, you're out.
You're out now. Like, what?
Ouch.
Oh, Amazon.
Yeah, so just to summarize what those three games were. So Breakaway, they said that was canceled. Breakaway is basically a team-based brawler. So teams of four fight together. And it was supposed to be like a game it would have been a Twitch game, basically. How you have like Twitch sings going on right now where you can sing and it's like integrated into it. So they were going to do it with Breakaway, but that's canceled. Crucible is basically a 12-player battle royale. And then A New World is basically an MMO sandbox game with supernatural colonial America theme is what it says.
Oh, I think I did hear about this. Lloyd, yeah. I'm sorry. DePelican in our chat mentions that it almost sounds like they dumped a bunch of money into a division without knowing what they were getting into. I kind of have to agree. I only say that because the what they're going through with the games are just so vastly different for a new company. I know it's a big company, but still, it's a little... I don't know. It does feel a little strange that they kind of were really spreading themselves thin as far as theme and if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, in other news, first of all, good luck to those video game developers at Amazon Game Studios. Look around because anytime we hear your news about this, other video game studios, you know, say, hey, check out our video game posting. So go on out there.
They will eat them up.
We all support each other, so... On other news, Dr. Disrespect was banned at E3 filming in a bathroom. He was live on his Twitch stream and he walked into a bathroom. And then in this clip, you can see a teenager at a urinal. But then I guess he was like looking around in the stalls. Then Dr. Disrespect kind of like walked in his stall and, you know, did a bit and the clip ends up there. So later on during E3 officials went up to him and took his badge and said, you're out of here. And that was day one of E3.
Oh my gosh.
Day one.
Wow. What a way to just ruin your E3 experience. Yikes, Dr. Disrespect. I was reading somewhere that part of the reason they think this happens in California, it's illegal to film in bathrooms.
Yes, it is.
So, dang it, Dr. First of all, like, why?
Why would you think that's okay?
People are so weird with these like live streams. I swear to God, it's so weird. Like, to me, I would never want to do that. To me, that's not like, it's just weird. It's not funny. It's weird. But they think it's funny. I don't know what they're thinking. I am actually kind of shocked that the videographer just like kept following him and wasn't like, wow, I feel weird about this.
I guess they were trying to do something, you know, huge and like different at E3. I mean, I get it. His name does say Dr. Disrespect. But he took it a little bit over.
He didn't even like, if you watch the video, it's actually extremely awkward. He didn't even like go up or harass, like, not that he should have. I'm just saying he didn't even like go up to people. He just goes in, kind of looks awkwardly at the camera and at the mirror, and then basically says like, I gotta take a dump or something. And then goes to the bathroom stall and that's where it ends. Like, what?
Yeah, so we don't know what's happening, but Twitch hasn't said anything, but his stuff is down on Twitch, so I don't know. But there was a Twitter response on Dr. Disrespect's Twitter. 2 days ago, he posted a a quick short clip. He's walking around E3, doc at E3, it says. And it says, mishaps lead to recaps. Full video coming soon. P.S. My director, Alex, was fired. So that's all it says. I don't know. Chili is asking if he got banned on Twitch, right? We don't know. It's just his name, his stuff is not on there anymore. We don't know if he's banned completely because he is one of the biggest Twitch streamers out there. But either he could be suspended, banned. I don't know. We'll see what happens if there's going to be any legalities on this as well.
If his director was fired, pardon me, because, like, I have to be honest, not that I know what I do for a living is I, you know, work with people psychologically, but he just seemed really awkward throughout the entire video, almost like he was just as surprised they were doing this a little bit. So part of me is wondering if it kind of was his director's idea to, like, do something weird like that.
I don't know.
I don't know. It's hard to say. Also, a lot of these times when these happens, yeah, they're going to just fire the director even if the... You know, the star is the one that asks for it. That's usually also what happens. So who knows? But it's interesting.
Yeah. But I don't know if that, the P.S. my director, Alex, is fired. I don't know if he's just saying that sarcastically or...
Yeah. You know, Dr. That's also true, too. We don't actually know.
Yeah.
We don't know anything about this.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, coming up next, again, I went out to E3. So we are going to talk E3 and then also follow up on our, you know, what happened to female protagonists in video games at E3. That's all coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This past week was E3 2019 at Los Angeles, California, and I was able to attend, and Sarah is back at home in Michigan.
Yeah, it wasn't a fun time.
But you did keep Nate and Joe, you know, company.
I did keep them company for the most part.
Now, up on our website at checkpointxp.com, the crew actually put on their own grades of each E3 press conference. Now, we did ask Sarah to give her grade too, but she never did a write-up for it.
I didn't because, like, literally, I wasn't there the first weekend at all. I was actually in my own crazy world, and then I was dead the 2 days after. I got pretty sick. So that was the reason that was. Unfortunately, I only got to watch, truthfully, a few of those presentations.
Okay, so which one did you watch fully?
I watched fully, I watched the video on Cyberpunk 2077, but that doesn't really count.
Oh, that doesn't really count. Cyberpunk 2077. Yeah,
that doesn't really count. I watched all of Bethesda, I watched all of Devolver Digital, and I watched all of Square Enix.
Okay, so let's start off with, I want to say, Devolver Digital, because they're always something different going on with them. And what did you think of them, and give your grade on that?
Oh my gosh, I don't even grade something like that. I mean, they're so funny. Oh my gosh, every year they just keep going on and on. They always know what we're thinking about. I have to say, I have to give them, what do I even give them? I don't play many games of theirs, so that's the harder part, but I would say overall presentation, I'm going to just give them like a solid B+, just in general, of the fact that it was funny, and I loved their hit on the whole Direct thing. That was great. I actually really, they always have a creative way of like showing off their game, so that was fun. But I mean, at the same time, I'm not sure if I'm going to run out and play their games anytime soon.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Give them an A. Plus for effort. They definitely passed their school assignment.
Okay, and then next, I have to point out, CC Decibels in chat says 0 for incomplete work on you, Sarah.
I'm sorry. I missed school.
Yeah. It's okay. We're doing it here, right here on the podcast. So, but if you want to check out the other guys' grades on the E3 press conference.
And trust me, they'll be more thorough than anything I could give right now.
Check it out at checkpointxp.com. Now, you said the next one you did was, let's do Square Enix. What did you think of Square Enix?
Square Enix, there was a... That one was one of those that really did surprise me. Unfortunately, I was also kind of bored halfway through. I mean, like, Final Fantasy VII was definitely unexpected as far as what they had to offer, they had to show for us. So that was cool. And, I mean, seeing Joe get really excited over Final Fantasy VIII was kind of worth it.
He wasn't mad at all. He didn't get triggered. He wasn't, worried.
He was just kind of like, huh? Like, you could just see on his face just slowly as it came to realization of, like, oh, this is actually happening, and got really excited over the look of it. Like, the remaster, in his opinion, looks really, really good, so I have to give it that. But, like, I don't know, it was just videos going through, so to me, that's a C+.
C+.
Like,
okay.
It passed, but, like, it wasn't super... I got bored halfway through, and I missed some of the games that I don't even know about. RPG. Oh, it's another JRPG. Like, I know that's what they do. They do JRPGs, and that's fine. But, like, that was it.
Okay, so a game from Square Enix. So just basically Final Fantasy VII.
I remember, like, that one was probably the one that made the best impression on me,
okay,
for sure.
Okay,
gosh, there were, although now I'm trying to remember, because there were a couple of, like, indie-ish titles that I think did, like, indie as in they're the producers on them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to, like, the problem is that as much as I love Life is Strange, I'm not super, super, super interested in the new one, so that wasn't even really able to get my attention too much. So, I will say that, like, some of the, and I'm trying to, now my brain is escaping me on some of the other titles that they had mentioned, but I mean, the Final Fantasy one really did catch me off guard because, I mean, it was the first one, and it was just unexpected what they had available for us.
Okay, so I have to talk about Final Fantasy VII demo real quick, because I was able to get a ticket and actually play.
Oh, tell me more, I'm curious.
Final Fantasy VII demo, and it wasn't anything that I expected, because when watching the Square Enix conference, I really did thought it was going to be like Final Fantasy 15, Final Fantasy 13, Kingdom Hearts, button mashing. Now, to a point, there is some kind of like button mashing. However, the battle system is very dynamic, so you're pressing buttons to fill up, you know, your ATB charge. So once that ATB charge fills up, you can hit X and it slows everything down to go back to a modern, exactly what Robbie says, it's a modern take of your turn base. So you hit X and then you can select your different actions, cure, whatever, and that will take up your ATB charge. So there's like so much going on. You're running around trying to hit the scorpion bosses, or the one we did. And then you like have to hit X. Like I have to hit X constantly to like, you know, slow down. Like, what just happened? What is he weak against? Who needs to be cured? So it switches back and forth, and you're like a little bit overwhelmed, but it just takes a little bit getting used to, I'm guessing. And you can switch between the characters back and forth easily. So it'll be interesting game. I haven't played Final Fantasy VII. Let's just say that.
I haven't either, but like, yeah, I'm not sure if I'm going to play this game. Cause mostly, honestly, it's just because it's a very long game. There's a lot in it. But I'll be curious to see. Also, I have to confess, I had completely forgotten one part of the Square Enix presentation. I will change my grade to a B-, and it's only because I forgot that they had the Marvel Avengers.
Yeah, the Marvel ones.
So the Marvel Avengers one, we had heard about. We weren't sure what that was going to look like, and I'm kind of excited to see. It was a little unexpected because we didn't know what to expect with it. I thought we'd be able to create our own hero and fight side by side, but no, it's like its own Marvel video game universe.
I'm silent for a little bit because me and Norris went to the Marvel behind the scenes gameplay demo. And we can, because it's a gameplay demo, and I'm sure there's already news articles out there because it was just for press and that's what they want. They do need to clean up their game a little bit. Let's just say that. It's like your usual video game movie. Your movie video game. It's very linear. Let's just say that. But it does go between the different characters. So you, it showed us doing Thor first, then went to Iron Man flying around, shooting things, to Hulk, to Black Widow. The only problem is it's very linear and it just seems a little buggy. I do have to say the liners from the voice actors are pretty funny.
So. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's too bad. But I was also, I have to admit, a little worried about that.
Yeah.
just kind of based on what I saw. I'll be curious to see more about how it develops. But yeah, I will admit that I was a little worried about that even when I just saw it as it was presented itself. So
we'll see.
We'll see. It's too bad because, I mean, they're kind of probably trying to connect it with the Spider-Man game. And that was a great game. So
it didn't seem open world, though. At least that's what they showed us. So
I think
the people who would play this game will be interested into the Marvel story that's in there. So
right.
And then the last conference you didn't grade was Bethesda. So what
Bethesda, do you Bethesda? Okay, so I had to give Square Enix a B minus. I did forget about that. Bethesda, I will say that one's a hard one because I liked their conference. Like, I don't know how to describe this. I liked the feel of their conference, probably because they had people come out and speak. Although I'm going to be shooting myself in the foot, so let me actually just like remember exactly what was in the Bethesda one because I'm otherwise going to.
Okay, so the main one in Bethesda, of course, is Doom Eternal. So that's coming out in November, and being a Doom fan, I'm excited for that. It's just. I don't think I can keep up with the fast pace of it. I like Doom. The other thing, they didn't do any Elder Scrolls like they said they would. They did do Elder Scrolls Blades, which is their mobile game.
That's right. Okay, and it's starting. Everything's kind of starting to come up back to me. So, like, I didn't get much into Doom, but I will. So now I know. Okay, I feel a little more comfortable being able to say this. I would actually give. Wow, I feel weird. I just gave all B grades to everything, but I actually would give them a solid B, and here's why. I liked just the fact that they actually had people come out and talk to us to introduce each game.
Okay.
So I really, like, I always prefer that kind of method. But also, they have some newer stuff that I'm really excited for. Ghostwire Tokyo.
Yes.
Looks really cool.
Yes, it does.
I don't know much about it, but it looks really, really cool. I was also extremely excited when I was watching Deathloop for a myriad of reasons. I've always liked that concept of like restarting something all over again. Oh wow, it's because I play Zero Escape and stuff like that. But I also was just for sake of representation, I was like, oh cool, you know, just we have a male and a female character who both appear to be African American. We're not really sure,
yeah.
But I just so that was also cool. But just the concept, you know, we don't know much about it at all.
No, we don't.
But if it's but the story idea to me was definitely interesting. But we're probably not going to know much more till it's
until later.
Till later. And I will confess, as much as I'm not much a Doom player, the Doom Eternal looked really cool.
It does. We might stream that then.
That looks really cool.
Yeah.
And I think also what just gave me a good feeling, why I feel comfortable with a B for Bethesda, well, I feel comfortable with that too, is just because, I don't know why, but it was when they came out, we're just like, wow, we were surprised that Fallout 76 players were actually really nice to each other. I don't know why, but that just made me laugh. Of just they're willing to admit that, like, yeah, this was an interesting experience.
I respect them for that. Let's just say
I
that.
I do, too. Exactly. That's kind of what I mean, though. It left a good taste in my mouth.
It
so,
did.
So I...
But, yeah, just Fallout 76, I know there's a lot of people that still don't like it because of that fact from the launch. But get into it. You never know because they are constantly updating. And it's a thematic MMO, basically. So, like, the first year, you're trying to get used to things. And the second year, people are coming back, which is really great in an MMO. It's constantly evolving, let's just say that.
Yeah, so I'm curious to see how it honestly continues. But yeah, I think they give a solid B for me.
Yeah.
I think especially since there are some games in there, I'm like, ooh, yeah, I want to hear more about this.
All right, so what's the game that didn't show up in E3 that you were anticipating?
Anticipating? That's a really hard question because I'm not sure what I was going to be anticipating at this point. Not really. To be honest, I don't know if there was any that I was specifically like, oh, they're definitely going to talk about this, and then they didn't. I was really hoping they were lying about not talking about the new Elder Scrolls game. They were not lying. I think that was honestly my only real, like, kind of feeling. Otherwise, it's funny, we were kind of talking about what were they going to be honest about, and honestly, the only one that it seemed like that they weren't super honest about was Cyberpunk 2077. They made it seem they weren't going to talk that much at all about it, and but there was a lot to talk about.
Did. Okay, so the Cyberpunk 2077, I wasn't interested at all in it until Keanu Reeves came out.
Fake! No, I'm just kidding. I, like, last year when they announced Cyberpunk 2077, that was my pick of, like, game I was most excited about.
Yeah. It looks cool. I just didn't know the premise of it, especially because I never played, like, The Witcher series or CD Projekt Red or anything.
Well, there's nothing to do with them.
Okay, so it looks amazing, but I think the reason why I'm really getting to it, but not besides, you know, Keanu Reeves. We all love Keanu Reeves. It's just when I did go to that appointment and they did show more gameplay, I'm like, wow, this is actually a real, probably adventure game that I would love. And there's so much customization in this. Yes, you can customize your characters. Yes, you can play male or female. That's what they call it. I know. Yes, there is a male or female character that you can choose.
I have to tell our viewers why I panicked was because, so when I first heard about this game last year, I was super psyched for it because I had been wanting I basically had the Skyrim bug, but I wanted something new. And the problem is that, like, Fallout games, I'm not super into post-apocalyptic, like, those kinds of games as much. Mm-hmm. So I was waiting for something that would really tickle that. And so it was announced last year, and they're like, hey, Cyberpunk World, Ultimate Customization, you know, I saw part of the gameplay trailer, and I was like, oh my gosh, yes. I have not played much of the Witcher series at all. But it's based by that. But I do know a lot about Witcher 3 and what they did a lot with that. And even though you couldn't customize your character, you had a lot of really dynamic choice making with that game and how it affected the game. So I was excited to see them bring that into this open world, open character concept. So I was geeked last year when they heard about it. And so this year I was like, I want to know more. And they made it seem like they weren't going to say anything, really.
No.
And I was really sad. But basically what happened was my brother, I love my brother to death, but he had seen that video before I did about Cyberpunk 2077. And he was like, well, Sarah, I think you have to play this male character named V. They showed a guy. And I was like, no, they didn't. Don't you dare say that to me. He said, yeah, I think you have to play. I said, you can customize your class, but I think it's going to be this guy, how he looks like this in the trailer named V. And I was like, No, this can't be true. Don't break my world.
Well, I am unbreaking it. I'm bending it together. You can play a female V. Let's just do that. So, okay. So the also thing, yes, there's also a lot of choice and consequences, a lot of choices that you can make. So like during the gameplay, they showed, you know, there's a guy, you're talking to a main person, right? And then his friend or whatever comes out of a room and says, hey, something's going on here. And then the guy tells him to leave. And then there's a choice. Either you can ask about that room, so you can actually check out that room, or just continue on with your conversation. So you can do that and don't know what happened. There's also different styles of combat you can do. Like you can be a hacker, basically, or you can be a melee person. It changes the way you go through the world, basically. So that's really cool. I'm excited for this game now just because I know more about this game. Not just because of Keanu Reeves.
Are you sure? I'm very sure. I made a joke the other day. I was like, hey now, I was excited for Cyberpunk 2077 before Keanu Reeves made it cool. That being said, he did make it cooler.
He made it cooler. Like CC Decibels and Chazza, Keanu is the cherry on top.
He really is.
His character, Johnny Silverhand, he's basically your ghost in a microchip in your brain, so he will be by your side most of the time.
Sam for me. It was funny. I have a friend that I talk about with video games a lot. And she was kind of like, you, she didn't know much about Cyberpunk. And then she heard about it basically through Keanu Reeves coming out. And she was like, oh, I'm so excited, blah, blah, which whatever. I make fun of her for that. But I remember she was like, we were both like, can you, do they have romance options? And at first when I heard he was just a ghost in your brain, I was like, well, probably not. But then there was an article, I forget, where they were interviewing CD Projekt Red about his character. And they were like, yeah, he has a special relationship with you that changes over time. We won't say what that could mean.
Yeah, I'm interested.
Choice number one, baby.
Anyway, we're going to go quickly through of what else happened at E3. It did seem a little bit more emptier because no Sony presence. Sony is my heart, Sony PlayStation, and I miss them, but I get it. I respect them for not being there because what is there to talk about?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I give them that. They better come back next year, let's just say that, and make a huge breakout and huge announcements. Sony, what do you have behind the scenes that we're waiting for? So we'll see. Yeah, and then Xbox, they didn't have their thing on the show floor. They actually had it separate, so that's what also made the E3 floor even more empty. Esports area wasn't that much, you know, much to go with. I think it's just because of the games that were there. We're not interested as much. I know Smash Brothers Ultimate is the ultimate one of the ultimate FGC games, but there isn't many people there. Smite is also another game that's, you know, not as big as League of Legends, let's just say that. But shout out to Sam. I was speaking with her. She's basically a semi-pro CSGO female player. And she was excited about Not Your Familiar too, so she may come onto the show. Yeah. She was excited. I was telling her about Not Your Player too. You know, just, you know, talking about Not Your Player too, the people there, is just, the girls got goosebumps, let's just say that. So,
Awesome.
So Sarah, so excited. Yes, cute. So I do hope you come to E3 next year, Sarah. You can talk with more people, get into the games, and
hope so. That's why you guys got to give us those good ratings.
Yes,
or good reviews. Ratings. So you can tell corporate that you like us, or at least you're interested in us, good or bad, honestly.
Yeah. So Pelican in chat asked about what about Nintendo. I don't remember anything from Nintendo. Let's just say that.
I think I watched it.
Okay, I lied. Animal Crossing with the release date. That's it. That's all I cared about.
You were super geeked about that. I guess Nintendo did talk about Fire Emblem. There's a new Fire Emblem game coming out, which I'm a fan of. I don't want to say I'm a fan of Fire Emblem. I'm going to be very careful to say I'm a fan of the more modern Fire Emblem games. So I definitely need to get a Switch. The only thing I have to say about the new Fire Emblem game that I'm a little eerie about is it looks like it really looks like it's a weird high school battle student simulator. And I mean, hey, maybe I'm finally gonna get the kind of Persona game I want.
We'll see. Anyway, what did you like about E3? Did you attend E3? Did I miss you there? Tell us on social media at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
On our last episode of Not Your Player 2, we talked about female protagonists in video games at E3. Are they even really being represented at E3? So a new story came up. You know, E3 is done and over with. We can talk about it now if female protagonists were represented in E3. A Wired news article said that there wasn't much. They actually brought out some stats and numbers. Sarah, what do they have about E3?
So as far as for 2019, they're telling, they basically broke down video game protagonists by female, male, multiple options, and gender ambiguous or mm-hmm. not applicable, probably for games that don't have a character. Mm-hmm. For multiple options was at 66%. For male options of all the games there, it was 21%. And this year, women came in at just 5%, which isn't a fun number to see, certainly. One thing I do have to say, though, if you look at the charts from the last couple of years, because what's really cool, what the Wired article shows, is the statistics for since 2015. 2015 was the highest at 9% of female protagonists, but also mm-hmm. was 32% of male. And 46% of multiples. So one thing I kind of want to point out that is still kind of a plus is even though the number of like female only protagonists is lower at like 5%, the number of male protagonists is also lower at 21 because multiple options has increased.
And that was a question I asked you last week was like, would you yeah. rather have a female led protagonist video game or a video game that lets you choose a female protagonist for the game?
And for me, my answer still remains the same, is I want both, because they're two different types of storytelling. When you pick, you know, the reason I thought Cyberpunk 2077 needed to have multiple options was because it looked like the story kind of was resulting about what your choices were, which might not have a choice of gender. But other games are telling a story. Like, if you could choose the gender of Tony Stark in the Marvels game, that would be a little strange.
It's not like Fate Grand Order, where male characters
exactly,
turn into female.
You know? So I think it's really important to have both, you know? I don't necessarily need to have it where I play a Mario game where I can change Mario's gender, but I would like to have an option in a Mario game where you could play as Princess Peach or Mario or other characters. That would be good. Or just even storytelling of games that's both. Because the thing I think that I point out last, and I still think is the same, is because, you know, you would think that as far as if you're picking your protagonist's gender, if that's as far as making a character in a game, mm-hmm. then it should be kind of 50-50, you would think, as far as, like, who gets what. But it always seems to be that if they have to pick, they're usually male. And that, to me, is kind of what's kind of a bummer. But, yeah, the number of multiple options increased compared to 2018 by, like, 16%. It used to be, it was originally like 50% of games last year were multiple options of genders, and this year it's increased, which I think is a good sign. I don't think it means that everything's over yet, but I do like the sign of it.
Yeah, I think, okay, so which is weird, because esports were thinking of, we want women-only tournaments to make it more to mix, but from this standpoint, in video games only, it seems like they're pushing more of the mixed. And
yes.
then probably going into a female-led video game.
Yeah.
That's
well, I think, in exactly, and I think, unfortunately, the implications of that are not comfortable, because it makes it seem like, well, we can't have a female-only protagonist. We can only do that as long as we have some male protagonist options so that the boys are going to be okay. Like, that's what that feels like to me, and I don't like that feeling. Huh. But I'm also not dumb. This is how it has to start.
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm still going to stick with my opinion. I really don't care if there's any female led. I mean, it puts a cherry, I'm going to say cherry on top a lot because I did see it on the chat, but it makes it more special if it does a female led protagonist. But in my opinion, I still don't care. It's just that because we are on Not Your Player 2, I see it more often that there is, well, not often that there's not a female-led protagonist, but
right.
like you said, or this article at Wired.com, there is more multiple options. So you also have Cyberpunk 2077, you said, Deathloop was another one with Juliana and Colt, so the two different stories. But there are still some, like, would you consider Gears 5 with Cat Diaz? Her picture is the most prominent, but is she just, is that female-led, or is that just an option for her? I don't remember about Gears 5.
I don't know much either. One thing that's interesting is in that statistic, they put multiple options with games where, like, in JRPGs, where you can yeah. play as female characters, but the male character's, like, the main character. You know, like Final Fantasy VII, there's female characters, but who's the main guy?
Who's the main guy? Cloud. Yeah.
So, you know, that's also one thing I actually probably do need to put a caveat in that statistic alone. Because, and I do think that, like, and again, that just kind of puts a bad taste in my mouth, because am I glad that we can play as, you know, female characters in those games? Yeah, I don't want to go to the days of, I know people are going to criticize me, but I'm thinking, like, if you think of the people in Lord of the Rings that were in the adventure, they were all men. They were female characters, and they were great.
Yeah.
They were all men. You know, I'm glad we're not in those days anymore. But at the same time, you look at Final Fantasy 15, it was a bachelor's party.
It's a bachelor's party.
But that's what I call that game.
But we did have Final Fantasy X-2, which is, you know, all female. And then we also did have Final Fantasy 13, which is female-led. Sir Norik in the chat says, for Gears 5, I think I heard someone say that the female character that they showed at Gears 5, she might be a big part of the story arc, but don't think you can play as her compared to her to Kerrigan in StarCraft, which is pretty sad if you can't play her. And it is just a story arc. Like,
the reason to me that feels still, like, gross in my mouth is because I'm just reminded of how much, you know, we're told. Like, I feel like sometimes, especially in the early days, what a lot of video game developers would say to show that they had female protagonists, it would be like, listen, the princess is super important to the story. I mean, you don't play as her, but she's really important to the story. And to me, it's like, okay, but then what's point? Like, yeah, I'm glad that she is a major, you know, part of the story, but I also want to experience as her. That's kind of the point.
Yeah.
You know, not saying I need to have a Zelda only game, but that's kind of what I mean when I say things like, well, you know, Zelda's super important in the, you know, Zelda games and stuff. Her name's in the title.
Her name's
in
the title.
It is. That's fine. She's
but it's everyone else that you play Link more in this
game. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, and so why can't we have a reverse? Why is that such a problem? Why can't I play as, you know, I'm not saying we have to change Legend of Zelda, but why isn't there another game where the concept is I play as a female warrior protecting a king?
So with the modern take of that, I know we do have games that are male-led, but there are spin-offs now that are becoming, like, female-led. So, like, with Uncharted, you had Uncharted The Lost Legacy, you got more into Chloe and Nadine, into their story, versus Nathan Drake, but it's still within the Uncharted franchise. You have Wolfenstein now, that's coming out. Wolfenstein Youngblood, you play either.
I'm so excited for that game.
Jester Soph, this game is really, really good. I love the whole co-op thing. You're coming together. So you and me, we're definitely playing this game together. Because this game is really cool. You're killing Nazis all over the place.
Yes! Oh, God. I was so geeked when I saw this game.
And then, like, stuff like this, yes, it's not a female. I guess you consider it's female. Well, would you consider it a female-led game, even though it's a spin-off from the franchise?
Excellent question. Truthfully, I think it's once again kind of seen as a safe play by the developers. And here's kind of what I mean by that. You know, when we have those things like we can pick, you know, a female protagonist, or they have some kind of female protagonist that's important to the storyline.
Right.
That to me reads a lot of a developer going, we don't want to anger some of the men in our fan base, so we're going to do the safe thing to do, you know, to have women in the games. Like, they're, like, trying to play both sides with that, where they're like, we have somebody, or in this case, it's a spin-off game. Or I think about how both, you know, you mentioned Final Fantasy X-2, where they basically did the same kind of thing.
It's spin-off.
Kind of a spin-off game. All female, but it's kind of a spin-off game. Or I think about how, The Last of Us, how the second game has a female protagonist, which they also did with the second game of Telltale's Walking Dead, that they also had it where you got to star as the girl. Very similar concept. And I am happy that those exist. Don't get me wrong. I love it. At the same time, it's one of those, it's a safe thing to do. Hey, we have our main game that most people remember and love with the men. Now here's a spinoff or a sequel that has the women in it. Yay! And like, hey, I'm not going to complain because they're there and they're interesting and they're great stories.
And I love
I love it. You know, at the same time, there's a part of me that kind of wants to kind of put my hands together and just put my, you know, my arms together and just be like, okay, so why can't we have original stories where the main protagonist is a woman and we don't need to get all weird about it.
Right. And I think that's what the problem is about female protagonists in video games, that lack of representation. Mm-hmm. It's just that we can't make up, or at least the video game developers can't find a new IP or a AAA game that is female led. And I get it. It is kind of hard. But stuff like Horizon Zero Dawn shows that it can be successful.
Well, hey, Metroid Prime did it. I mean, to be fair with Metroid Prime,
it was kind of
meant to be like a secret reveal, which I'm sure back then was new and, you know, divine, and nowadays we kind of be eye-rolly. But, like, they did it, you know, and they did it back then, too. So it can be done. I just want it to be, kind of what I said before, I want it to be that having a female protagonist isn't, like you said, you saw it as a cherry on top. To me, I don't want it to be a cherry on top. I want it to be seen as normal. I want it to be seen as, like, this is just someone we can have, and it's okay. And it doesn't need to be, I don't need to constantly hear up in arms of people accusing them of trying to cater to SJWs and stuff like that. And it's like, why do video game developers, why do they have to be questioned for having a female protagonist other than we just decided to do it, you know? It's just, I don't even necessarily need it that they have it, that she shows a perfect female experience, you know?
We just have flaws, too.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just show it, you know? Tomb Raider is awesome because I think, you know, I feel like there were some things they may have done that to me was a little bit wonky with the storyline for Lara Croft, but at the same time, hey, she's an adventurer, you know? And you could almost argue that Nathan Drake kind of copied off of her, and hey, that's fine with me.
Yeah, I have to admit it. They refined Tomb Raider, though. Refined Lara's character instead of, like, being a sexualized, you know, object.
Yeah. And they changed her story. The other thing, too, is, like, anytime there is a female character, there has to be some, and that's some sexualization, which is why Metroid Prime kind of, like, annoys me, because it's basically the direction they tried to take it to keep her relevant. And it's like, you didn't need to do that.
Yeah. The Real Hot Chili Pepper in our chat at twitch.tv/checkpointxp says, I was about to say, to be honest, I feel like Sony is very open about female leads. Remember Heavenly Sword.
Fair enough.
Very fair.
I would actually go further and to say, this is a true story. So Life is Strange. Did you ever play that game, Life is Strange?
I've watched the playthrough.
Watched it. Okay. That's all you need. Okay. So, you know, it's about a female protagonist and her female friend. There's definitely some lesbian vibes, very strongly. But fun fact, Square Enix produced that game. And the reason that this company had such a hard time getting a producer was every time they would pitch the story to other big AAA producers, they kept wanting them to change the gender of the character to male.
Really?
And they refused. True story.
Wow.
True story. They kept people, the developers like, hey, we'll do this story, but you got to change that to a male character. And they refused. And Square Enix was the first one to go, yeah, we'll do it. So, like, as much as I may give Square Enix some flack, hey, they were willing to do this.
But it also, in the Japanese culture, it's more open than here in the US. So they're probably okay with that. But I do have to admit, yeah, Square Enix is taking a step there. Also with the LGBT scene, I'm glad they're doing that. Yes. Sony is definitely open with that. I think they have a great vibe behind them. It's, you know, even though they're not here at E3 this past year, I'm sure that they have something big under their sleeves that they're willing to pull out and say, hey, we do have another female-led IP. I'm really, really hoping that's what they're working on.
You know, as much as Final Fantasy XIII was very hit or miss, it wasn't because the protagonist was female. She was great. You know, it was another Final Fantasy game, and that
another
was great.
Square Enix, Square Enix. But I guess we'll see. But, you know, the other games that we did see at E3 that are just, like, you know, a multiple option was, like, Watch Dogs Legion. I mean, you can never forget the old lady, Helen!
Okay, so Watch Dogs Legion, I'm so torn because I have a history with Watch Dogs, the first one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My brother and I played it together, and the first game is very okay. And in fact, actually, in some ways, was very much your stereotypical, like, white guy, you know, I don't know his sexuality, to be fair, but white guy, gruff, you know, protagonist that was just not interesting and, like, just so much into the been there, done that, and not even done well kind of character. I know the second game, I think it starred a African-American man, which was interesting. But, yeah, this game, though, I'm really, like, I saw their trailer for it, and I was like, oh, can I hope? Can I dream that this will be good? I was burned so much.
It looks good. I mean, Ubisoft's taking a different take on Watch Dogs Legion with the different characters and different storylines, and then the permadeath of all things.
Yes,
that's,
you know,
really interesting.
Mm-hmm. And what's awesome is that they can do so much diversity so easily, you know, without question about it. Which, you know, like, I know I got into the whole, like, why don't they do it in the main games? But, hey, whatever, they could put all of them in here, and that's great. I love that. We had a little old white lady. She was awesome.
Shout out to you, old people. We love you.
Not yet, Helen.
Anyway, I also did get to sit down with Anastasia Staten. She is the ESA Foundation Executive Director, and she is behind this initiative called We Are. Now, I did get an interview. Her Checkpoint Daily did, you know, put her interview out there with me and her. So if you want to check that out, it is at checkpointxp.com.
Awesome interview, so make sure you check it out.
This We Are initiative, I hope this helps, you know, push, you know, the whole female, she said, not just female representation, minority representation in video games. So we're excited for that. You know, I know, yes, we do get to pick on, you know, we need more females, but we also do need more minorities in the video game world as well.
All representation. That I know I got maybe many people mad when I kept saying the cis white heterosexual guys.
Yeah.
All of it.
F you guys. So I do think it's funny that they clip that. Anyway, also Norris. Norris was very, very hyped for Deathloop because he's like, look, it's, yes, female and male, but look, they're African-American.
They both are.
Yes.
I have to admit, like, I kind of, when I saw that, I was like, whoa, because I didn't think they would, I didn't know. We saw the African-American man, and then we saw the woman, and I was like, hey, awesome.
Yes, so this game is all about Deathloop. We're keeping an eye out for that one, so. Anyway, so E3, that's it. Oh, we got so much from E3, and we're excited. And again, Sarah, please join us next year.
I will try. I need to take the time off, and I need the money.
Yeah. And again, I think that will do it for Not Your Player 2. Thank you so much for joining us today. Our regular live stream and recording is usually Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at twitch.tv/ Checkpoint XP. In a couple weeks, we might change it to Wednesday. Just keep in touch.
Just keep in the loop, guys.
Keep in the loop. Stay tuned on our social media at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter. We mostly put our updates about our stream on Twitter. And then Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Join us for the discussion. We do love to see you guys on the chat, like Lady TC, The Real Hot Chili Pepper, CC Decibels, Sir Norik is a new name. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, you can find Not Your Player 2 on bpodstudios.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Leave us a review. We will read it on the show, good or bad. And also, we love corporate to see these reviews.
You need to know we're important.
Exactly. CheckpointXP.com is where you can find more information, news, interviews, and our other shows, including our national syndicated flagship radio show, the actual radio show, Checkpoint XP. And then we also do have other podcasts as well as the Checkpoint Daily Show, Winter Has Come, let's see, The Other Identity, and Low Team Damage versus Everything Overwatch League. Check it out again, checkpointxp.com. Thank you so much for joining us here at Not Your Player 2, and Sarah and I are signing off.
Bye-bye.